Well, we're glad to have all of you here this morning who are able to be gathered with us and to worship the Lord. So we're going to go to the Word this morning, and I would ask you if you would to turn to one scripture, Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. We'll read that in just a moment. I want to talk to you this morning about the anchor that sustains. The anchor that sustains. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. I want to read the scripture first, and we'll come back to it. Paul is writing, and he says, "Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation," that is comfort, "who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us." That is sort of the context of our verse. And then the main verse is this next one. "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." So this morning again, what the Lord laid on my heart this week is to bring encouragement, to you and to those who are at home and to all who listen who are maybe struggling during this time. And I'll address that in just a moment, to bring, as the Word uses this word here, consolation or strong comfort to the people of God, to strengthen the body of Christ. We're to strengthen one another during a time like this. Amen?
Amen.
I could have easily, and you know me, this was very tempting, I could have easily gone to a message on the end times today. I could have easily talked about the politics that I see happening, how that fits into a larger scheme of things, whether it's knowingly or unknowingly by our leaders. I could have easily talked about this being a trial run for things to come in our nation. But that was not anew in my heart the beginning of last week. That was not what God wanted for this day today. Because regardless of how much we understand that or don't understand it, as the body of Christ, many are downhearted. Many are concerned. Many are frightened. Many are worried about many things, many different things, not just this virus, but about many things. It's a time of great uncertainty. They're concerned. And let me just say to you this morning, this is a test. This is a test for believers. Number one, can God entrust troubles to you? See, this is a gift from God, whether you see it that way or not. Can God entrust a time of difficulty and trouble to you? And you may think that sounds strange, but you see, listen to this. Faith, I don't like the wording of this, but it was the only way I could think to write it down. Faith works best, or faith is at its best, or faith rises up and manifests in the best way when everything is uncertain. Faith doesn't operate and doesn't manifest itself in times of certainty. I'm not saying that faith isn't there. It is our bedrock. But it manifests, it rises up, and it is operating when everything is uncertain. Yes. This is a great time to learn to walk in faith. Amen. This is the time that we're tested to see if we're going to walk in faith. It's a test for all believers, for those of you who are at home today. And this is in no way to cause you to feel down or worse about your own self right now. But God wants to reach out to you today, and he's going to comfort you. But he wants you to also see that this is a time for you to rise up. This is an opportunity for the body of Christ to be a living testimony to Christ's power within us.
Amen.
To be able to stand in a dark hour.
Amen.
You see, faith isn't, you'll have to think about this for a moment, but faith isn't manifest on vacation. When you're laying on the beach, it doesn't take much faith. Faith is manifest in a time of trouble. in a time of uncertainty, in a time of difficulty, in personal storms. That's when your faith is proven. It's when you can go through a storm and keep your head up and keep your eyes on Christ and walk on the water. That is when your faith is being manifest. It's in times of calamity, in times of fear, that God takes that faith that he's put within you, and then it is brought forward that it might manifest itself. And so truly for our nation, for our entire nation, this is a time of uncertainty. We may have all kinds of opinions this morning about what's going on, but for every single one of us, it is a time of uncertainty for believers and unbelievers. And I don't mean an uncertainty for believers concerning our faith and that we're going to stand, but I mean it's a time we do not know what tomorrow holds. Amen. We do not know what they're going to do tomorrow. Right. To think the best is that this is going to run its course quickly, things are going to go back to normal, but we do not know that.
That's right.
We do not know what they're going to do. And so it's a time of uncertainty. Our entire nation is basically shut down. We have never in our lifetime experienced anything like this. We have no frame of reference, nothing to compare it to. It's truly a different sort of time. Now, there are some, I think of some, especially maybe young people who have no responsibility, that might think this is kind of a thrilling time because they get to stay home. And you know, this generation, as long as the internet's working, we talk about social distancing. They've already done that. It's all done, but through social media. They can do social media at home just as well as they can at school or anywhere else. And so we've got a generation that this is a holiday for a lot of people. But there are others who carry responsibility on their shoulders.
Amen.
Who have the weight of families and who have bills and who have all of these things that they have to consider and that they have to think about. And it is a hard time because, and some of you who are at home today, I don't know each one of your individual situations, but I know that within our church, there will be families that are really, really worried because they don't know if they're going to have income tomorrow. They don't know if they're going to have income a month from now. They don't know how they're going to stay in their home or in their apartment, how they're going to have food and groceries. And so this is truly a serious time for many people. And you know, I think about those who don't have the responsibility, and it's like a time that for some that all busyness has shut down. We live such busy lives. And right now, we sort of get to withdraw from the busyness for a while, and we're not filled with that, but I know this is maybe an odd thought, but I thought about it as a nation. I thought maybe God, and I'm not saying this is the purpose or anything, this is just, as I said, a strange thought. Maybe God is getting the Sabbath rest that he demands that this nation has ignored for so many years. But many of you, I know, are fearful, and you have the worry of, especially of loss of income, and some are worried about this virus and what may happen in your own families. This morning, I want to remind you, I want to comfort you, I want to build up your faith, and I want to open up this one scripture to you because I know this scripture firsthand. You know, it's one thing, we can always preach and teach the word of God because it's truth. But for me, how much better is it when I can preach something I've walked out? When I can preach something that I can tell you I know, that I know through experience, that I know firsthand. You remember in the story of David and Goliath, David goes down to the battle scene and Goliath is taunting the people, taunting the army of Israel. And David rises to this challenge. He says, will no one stand against this uncircumcised giant who mocks the very name of God? And so he says, I will go up against Goliath. And King Saul is there. King Saul says, who is this young man? And they bring David to King Saul. And David says, I'll go up against him. And Saul listens to him. They talk for a moment. And then Saul consents. And so Saul gives David his armor and says, here, put on my armor. At least take my armor to go up against this madman. And David puts on the big clunky armor of Saul. And he has it on for a few minutes, and then he takes it back off, and he says, I can't use this. It's not been tested with me. I've not tested this. I can't go to battle in this. It's not my own. I haven't proven it. I haven't tested it. So he took the armor back off, and he went out and chose five stones, and with the faith, the armor that had already been tested in his life, he went up against the giant and defeated him. Yeah. God had already prepared him. He said, I killed a bear with my bare hands. All of these things I've done in the past in the name of God, and he was there for me. That was his armor, and that was what had been tested and proven. Yes. Our faith is built. The Bible says we go from faith to faith and glory to glory. We build upon previous victories.
Yes.
And so I come to the scripture this morning to tell you that this is the faith and this is the armor that has been tested in my life. And so the rest of this message, I'm doing a commercial for the anchor. The anchor that will sustain you no matter what trouble you're in, what trial you're in. And so in verse 17, he says, thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise, that's us, the immutability of his counsel. Immutability simply means unchanging.
Right.
Unchanging.
Amen.
His word, his counsel cannot be changed. Doesn't matter your circumstances. Doesn't matter the culture that you're living in. The word of God cannot change, does not change. It says that it is immutable. It is confirmed by an oath. That means God has sworn by an oath. We live under the new covenant. It is the oath of God. In other words, God made a promise to us through Abraham, and it's confirmed in Jesus Christ on the cross. It is a promise of salvation given to us, and it cannot be altered, cannot be changed. And he swore it by an oath. He sealed it by going to the cross for us, and it cannot be changed. It is unchangeable, and God cannot lie. It says, in which it is impossible for God to lie. We might have strong consolation or strong comfort in these things. For us who have fled for refuge to lay hold, this hope is what we're going to see in a moment. I'm just laying this foundation in this first verse. The hope that is set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Let me go back up into verse 18 by two immutable things. People have argued since Paul wrote this what those two immutable things are. But all you have to do is look at the context. And he has been talking about the promise and the oath. The promise and the oath. So in other words, God's promise to us is confirmed by his covenant with us, by his word, and it cannot be changed. These two unchangeable things he has given us that we might have comfort, that we might have consolation, that we might know that God cannot lie. There are very, very few things that God cannot do. But he cannot lie. And so every word that he has given to us, we can bank our lives upon it.
Amen.
See, here's the test for the believer. We know these things. We read these things. And then we come into a time of difficulty. And we begin, it is perfectly human, but it is the flesh. We begin to panic. We begin to look with fear. We begin to have doubts. Or it's not that we really doubt God, but we don't think about God for a little while. We come into a time of calamity and fear, and we just begin to run in our own flesh to try to figure things out, to try to prepare, to try to fix things, instead of first going and calmly going to the Lord for the mind of Christ, for his understanding of these things that he would share with us, his word and his heart. And what he will do, first of all, he will, just like David, he will remind us of past victories. He will remind us that he's always been faithful, and he will remind us of the things in his word that apply to the current situation, that he will take care of his people, that we might lay hold of the hope set before us, it says. Lay hold of the hope that is set before us. It is something that you have to access. You have to access this. You're going to see in just a moment. It's something we all have, Because we're believers and God's given it to us, but not every believer accesses it. Not every believer walks in it, but we have the opportunity to during this time. In verse 19, again, this hope that we have, I want you to see that word have. It doesn't mean that we just have available. It means possess. We possess this. I want you to understand this morning that you possess, because Christ lives within you. You possess this hope. It belongs to you. It was purchased for you at Calvary. It is yours by right, because God has given it to you. But how many believers access it? How many believers in a time like this walk with great hope? No, so many people walk in negativity. They walk in fear. They walk in lack of faith. But there is a hope that we have in Christ. Now, I want to begin to develop this, because there's hope and there's wishing. In the Bible, hope is not the same thing as hope is in the world. I'll explain what I mean by that. In the world, the world's definition of hope is possibility. In the definition of hope that we have in the world, hope means a possibility. And it really depends on the person's desire. How strong is your desire as to how real your hope is? Because those who are in the world, they don't have the hope that is certain in Christ. And so everything's based on man's thoughts. And so hope is a wish. It's a desire, but it's nothing that is guaranteed. But in the Bible, in Christ, hope is more than that. When you read of the word hope in the New Testament, it's a different thing altogether than how you knew the word hope as an unbeliever. Hope in the Bible, we're going to see, is an anchor. It is something that's sure. It's not a wish. It's not just a desire. Hope works together with faith. Hope is something, and in the Bible, the definition of hope is confident expectation of something that's promised. Amen. Confident expectation of something that is promised. That puts a whole new light on the word hope when we see it in the Bible. And so in Christ, it's more like a rock. Jesus is, the Bible describes him as our rock. Amen. And our hope is in him. Yeah. It's something that's anchored. It's something that's steadfast. Man's promises, see, here's the heart of it. Man's promises are imperfect. And that's why worldly hope is imperfect. But Christ's promises are steadfast and they are sure, so that we can hope knowing that our hope is attached to something eternal, something that's steadfast. This hope that we have, or that we possess, all believers have this hope, this perfect hope, but not all believers access this perfect hope. We all have hope, but for some believers, it eludes them. I wonder how many in our own congregation hope is eluding you right now. It's not something that you could stake your life on. So again, one of the main things that I think of when I think about all of you in the church, and Maggie and I are praying for you every day, but I think about your income. I think about your income, because I do know we'll get past this virus. And I do know that God has his hand on every one of you, but I know that the big worry in many of your minds is your income, because how can you live without your income? We all have this hope, but how many in the congregation right now have an anchor, have a hope that is steadfast in the Lord, that they can put worry aside and they can just know that everything's going to be okay? And so Paul continues to describe hope as an anchor for the soul. I love this passage of scripture. Hope is an anchor of the soul. It's not an anchor of something else. It's not an anchor of the body. This sounds silly, but it'll make sense in a moment. It's not an anchor of the spirit even. Hope is an anchor of the soul. And so this is where it really gets good to me. And I want you to listen closely, because we're going to see several things about this that I think can change your whole attitude towards the circumstances in which you find yourself. This is where I can, again, I can testify to you that I know this armor. This has been tested and proven. Beloved, an anchor is dropped down through the dark water into something that cannot be seen and grabs onto something that cannot be moved. Let that sink in for just a moment. The anchor is dropped down into the dark water into and through something that cannot be seen. You cannot see the anchor once it's dropped. And so you're not looking with your eyes anymore, but you know it's there. And it drops down through the water and then it anchors, it grips to something that cannot be moved. And so we find that this anchor, we'll see this spiritually as we begin to look at it, this anchor serves a twofold purpose for a ship. This is beautiful. A twofold purpose for a ship. Number one, whatever ground or distance has been gained, the anchor keeps the ship from losing ground and from going backwards. And I'm going to get ahead of myself and just tell you, if your anchor is gripped in solid rock, whatever ground you have gained in the Lord, you're not going to lose it. No matter what storm comes, no matter what your fears are, no matter what things are happening and falling apart all around you, if your anchor is in the solid rock of Jesus Christ, you have come this far by faith and you're not going backwards. You're not going to lose ground. He's going to hold you there in the midst of all of this storm. The second thing is this. The anchor holds the ship steady against the fierce storm winds that beat against it. So you're not only going to lose ground, but you're going to be held safely, secure, while all hell is breaking loose around you. While the storm is breaking, the waves are breaking over the bow of the ship, the anchor holds it so that it is not moved. You cannot be moved if your anchor is in the rock. So if it is anchored in rock, it is secure, and the harder, I love this, the harder the winds blow, the tighter the rope becomes, and the tighter it holds, the more securely
Thank you, Lord.
It grips the rock.
Thank you, Lord.
In fact, if there is no wind, this is amazing as I was thinking about this. If there's no wind, it is easier for the anchor to be moved. When you don't have wind that's holding that, keeping the rope tight, and it's loose, and then just gentle currents can come along. The currents of the ocean then can just, that anchor can just drag over rocks and all. It's when there's a wind that it'll catch on a rock. And the harder the wind blows, the tighter the anchor holds.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
Yes.
And so for us, even if the wind beats incredibly hard against us, the storms of life, if our anchor is in solid rock, it's not going, you're not going anywhere. God's got his hand upon you. And when that, as I was saying, that if there's no wind, then the currents, that's like the currents of our society. It's like the things that just, that deceive us, that they can move us all around if our anchor is not in the rock.
Right.
And even if the wind changes direction, as long as you've got a wind, if it changes direction, the anchor will reset itself in the rock. So you've always got the security of knowing that you've got an anchor and that your anchor holds. And the ideal situation is when it grips rock.
Hallelujah.
When it's in rock, and our rock is Christ. Amen.
Amen.
He says that it is an anchor of the soul. I truly long, I can't teach on it all the time. I go through seasons when I teach on it, but it is so important that Christians understand soul. In fact, that Christians understand their makeup, their nature, that we are spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. I am spirit. Man has a spirit. God is the Holy Spirit, but even the born-again man has a spirit. But his spirit is cut off from God. It's dead to God. The Bible says that we're made alive in our spirit when we're born again. The Holy Spirit comes and our spirit, just follow me for a moment, our spirit becomes the host of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in our spirit, and our spirit is the means by which we have communion with God, with spiritual things. You know, we are spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. It's who you are. It's your personality. It's your intellect. It's your thoughts. It's your emotions, and it's your will. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that the natural man, in other words, the one who is not spiritual, the one who is unredeemed, or even the believer who is living according to the natural thoughts, the natural man lives entirely by his soul and his body and cannot understand the things of the spirit because they are spiritually discerned. He's ruled by his own thoughts. If you're a natural man, if you're living according to the flesh, if you're living according to the carnal nature, you're ruled by your own thoughts and you are directed by your own self-will. Remember, this is the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. Your spirit may be born again, but your soul is being sanctified, transformed, changed by the Word of God. That's why we have the renewing of the mind in the Word of God. Your spirit is born again. It has perfect communion with God. But if your soul is disturbed and your mind is not on the things of God and your emotions are ruling you and self-will is directing your life, your spirit is quenched. The Holy Spirit is quenched. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit of God. But we have this soul that we have to deal with. And so the natural man is ruled by his own self-will, by his own thoughts, and by his own emotions. The Lord has given you your emotions as a gift. They're to be your servant and not your master. But many Christians live with their emotions as their master. When the soul is not lined up with the Word of God and not submitted to the Spirit, you have no anchor. That's what I see. That's what I see in Christians who run around panicking. That's what I see in those who are filled with fear. Many are ruled by fear today. Anxiety is at the highest level you can imagine in our culture today. People are filled with anxieties. And so we're called to live by the Spirit through faith. But we tend to yield to our own flesh, our own thoughts, and our own ways. And when we do, we're like the ship that's just battered and getting tossed to and fro. There's no anchor. Your soul has to have an anchor. It needs an anchor that it would be steadfast in the things of God. The born-again, redeemed man grows in the things of the Spirit, and his goal is for the soul area, mind, will, and emotions, and his body to come under the lordship of the Spirit of God in your born-again spirit, where the Lord changes you and rules from the inside out. And if you follow the Spirit, your soul will line up with the Spirit through the Word of God, and your body will have to follow suit. And so as a man or woman submits in their spirit to God in prayer and to His Word to be transformed in his mind and will and emotions, there is this change that takes place. The spirit, the soul, and the body is pictured for us. I'm going somewhere with this. The spirit and the soul and the body is pictured for us in the Old Testament tabernacle by the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. In the New Testament, Paul says, you, speaking of you inside, you are the tabernacle, you are the temple of God. And he uses the word in Greek for the very holy of holies. You are the innermost temple of God in the spirit. You have a body. You are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. The spirit, the deepest part of you represents the holy of holies because that's where the spirit of God dwells. In the tabernacle, he manifests himself in the holy of holies. and the holy place where the lampstand and the table of showbread and the altar of incense were, those, we're not doing this morning, those all have to do with soulish areas as we are transformed, as we submit ourselves to the Word of God. When Christ died, these all relate to one another. When Christ died, He broke down the barrier between the Holy of Holies and the most holy place and the holy place, the veil. As you know, in the temple in Jerusalem was ripped from top to bottom when He gave up His spirit on the cross. And so He ascended to the throne of God. The Bible describes the tabernacle as also a picture of what is in heaven. So Jesus went through the veil into the heavenlies, into the throne room of God, presented His blood as a high priest, just as in the Old Testament, the high priest went through into the Holy of Holies and presented the blood of the Lamb on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, two parallel pictures that we find. But we also find that Jesus, because of His death on the cross, then breaks down the barrier between where the Spirit of God comes to dwell inside of us and that soulish area that wants to be stubborn and wants to do its own will, that the Lord might possess us from the inside out, fill us to overflowing, and live His life through us. And so, when we are born again, Jesus comes to live in you, in your spirit, by the Holy Spirit. I said all of this to explain why Paul says we have an anchor of the soul. Because without the Spirit reigning in our life, our soul, as I said, is like a ship tossed to and fro. It's like a ship with no anchor. But we have an anchor of the soul. It's in the Holy of Holies. It's in the Spirit where He dwells. Our soul, if we submit to Him and we're being transformed, we're submitting to the Word of God and in prayer, then our soul is anchored into the very Spirit where He dwells in us so that we cannot be moved. We cannot be moved. We're like the ship that's anchored in the rock. If Jesus reigns, I hope you're following me. Yes. If Jesus reigns in the Spirit, the innermost part of our being, and our soul is anchored to Him, we're submitting our mind to His will, our mind to His Word, and our will to His will, and our emotions to Him, then it's anchored. We have an anchor of the soul that cannot be taken from us, that cannot be moved.
Amen.
As long as we keep our eyes in that secret place on Christ, He is the anchor for our soul.
Yes.
Our soul on its own would drift with every current, but it is submitted to being anchored in the rock, which is Christ. And therefore, the stronger the wind blows, the greater the opposition is, the more the anchor holds. My soul is anchored. My soul is anchored, and I can tell you this morning, and all of you who are listening, I can tell you that every storm I've been through in this life, I wouldn't be standing here today if the anchor didn't hold.
Yeah.
And I say that not as just an after the fact that, well, I made it. No, I can tell you that in the worst storms of my life, the anchor held in the midst of the storm.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't just I looked back later and said, oh, thank God He held me. No, I am aware in the storm that the anchor holds.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean the storm isn't hard. Doesn't mean I don't have to fight fear. Doesn't mean that panic doesn't come for a moment. But ultimately, in those times, no matter how hard they are, when I turn to the Lord, the anchor is there.
Amen.
And the anchor, I promise you, it holds.
Yes.
And so my mind is anchored in Christ. It's transformed by His Word. Those of you who are filled today, some of you who are listening today, you're filled with fear and anxiety. Check your anchor. Check to see if you're anchored. How is your anchor? Is it gripping the rock? Or are your eyes on the wind and on the waves? The rock is Jesus, and I'm just going to give you a picture to think about this morning. I want you to see your Lord as that rock into which you're anchored, and then I want you to look at Him, look in His face. Does he have any anxiety?
No.
Jesus has no anxiety.
No.
Is he moved by fear? No.
No.
He's not moved by fear. Is he tossed with the waves? No, he's not tossed with the wave. He stands above them. And if you're anchored to him, you cannot be moved. Are you filled with uncertainty? Well, you possess an anchor. You already have it. And the Bible says that it holds. It is the anchor of your soul. Your soul is weighted down this morning. It's tossed to and fro and you're fearful. Are you worried about your finances? I don't say this lightly. I know that it's a very real concern, so I don't say it glibly. I don't just throw this out as some saying like, oh, just trust in God. We do trust in God. But I want you to understand, I'm not saying it lightly, but your rock, Jesus Christ, he's not worried.
Amen.
He knows right now where he has you.
Yes, he does.
And he has allowed you to be in this place. You can just forget for a moment about everybody else in the nation. Right now, he is sovereign. He's on the throne.
Yes.
He knows where you are.
Yes.
He hasn't lost sight of you. He knows that your storm, that your ship is rocking in the waves a little bit. He's got his eyes on you. Do you have your eyes on him?
Yes.
He's got his eyes on you, and he is waiting for you to say, Lord, what do you want to teach me in this? Lord, how do you want to show your glory in this? Lord, how are you going to prove yourself faithful one more time to me? Lord, I remember when you saw me through that time that I lost my other job and you answered my prayer. So
yes,
what are you
Lord.
Going to do this time?
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I'm counting on you. I'm not looking at my circumstances. I'm putting my eyes on you because I know that you're going to see me through this.
Mm-hmm.
He is our rock and he is in control. And he has not moved. David, the same one who tested that armor and said, or who put on that armor and said, it's not been tested. He said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread.
Yeah.
Take that as your promise today.
Yes.
God has sworn his promise with a covenant. He has made an oath with you.
Yes.
A covenant with you. And he will not see you forsaken or your seed, your children, begging bread. There are two old songs that I love. One of them, I'm just talking about the chorus. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. I had fallen on my knees as I faced the raging seas, but the anchor holds in spite of the storm.
Amen.
The other one says, in times like these, I remember when I was 10 years old. And we had a pastor and his wife that moved from Indiana to Georgia. And I'm just going to say she was an extremely large woman. I don't know that I've ever known anyone any larger. She would use, I'm not making fun of anyone, she had to come and use my grandfather's cotton scales to weigh herself. Because she could not weigh on regular scales. And she would stand up at church on Sunday morning. And she sang with the most beautiful voice you have ever heard.
Mm.
And I remember her. She made such an impact on my life. At a time when I didn't know what it meant to have assurance. And she would talk about assurance. And she sang, in times like these, you need a savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure your anchor grips and holds the solid rock. This rock is Jesus.
Yes.
Yes, he's the one.
Yes.
What has he given you? He's given you his keeping power. I've preached many times on the keeping power of Christ. His keeping power. He keeps us. He keeps us in the midst of storms. No one can take, Jesus said this, no one can snatch those that belong to me. No one can snatch them out of my hand.
No.
He keeps us. And he gives us a promise even in the Old Testament. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every word spoken against me in judgment I shall condemn. This is the heritage of the saints of God.
Yes.
It's your right.
Yes.
He gives us his presence.
Yes.
It says that anchor holds behind the veil where the presence of God is.
Hallelujah.
The anchor holds through the veil.
Amen.
Where the presence is. You are anchored to the very presence of God.
Amen.
He gives us, in addition to all of this, we've been talking for weeks and months about the fire of God and the power of God. He gives us power.
Yes.
But how many of us avail ourselves of that power and truly believe it? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, he
Amen.
Says. Recently, were you making preparations for this? Maybe you were and you didn't even realize it.
Amen.
All those months that the sermons and the direction of the church was, God, give me the fire of God. Give me the fire of God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. God's been preparing you as a congregation.
Right.
Now is the time. And this isn't, beloved, this isn't an end time message, but this is not the biggie stuff.
That's right.
This is a small thing.
Yes.
Compared to what may come and what eventually will come. And Jeremiah says, if you can't run with the footmen, how can you contend with the horses in battle?
Mm-hmm.
This is a time of running with the footmen.
Yeah.
This is a time of testing to see where we will stand. I'm going to close with these two scriptures. If you want to jot them down, we're not going to turn to them. 2 Timothy 1:12. 2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him.
Yes.
Until that day. What have you committed to him?
Yes.
Have you committed your life to him?
Yes.
You've committed
Amen.
Your future to him?
Amen.
Have you committed Amen. Your family to
yes.
him? Have
yes,
you committed
Lord.
Everything to him?
Yes,
he's able to keep it.
Yes, he is.
Until the day of
Amen.
His return.
Amen.
How could Paul say this? Because the anchor held.
Amen.
Because he had an anchor that holds.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 4 verses 8 through 9. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed.
Yes.
Why? Because there's an anchor.
Mm-hmm.
We are perplexed, but not in despair. Why? Because the anchor holds.
Yes.
We are persecuted, but not forsaken because of the anchor. We are struck down, but not destroyed. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. Beloved, this week, I want to encourage all of you and challenge you. Take time to take your focus off of the minute by minute developments on the news. I'm not saying don't be aware of what's happening, but take your focus off of minute by minute bad news. And the waves of uncertainty about this crisis, and as we began this service today, turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Take time to look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Test this armor. It won't fail you. It'll work for you. It will. How many of you know that what I'm talking about today, this armor, it was made just for you?
Yes.
You were
yes.
fitted for it.
Yes.
It fits you perfectly. It has been tailored for you for this hour. Let your testimony be, my anchor holds behind the veil. This is reality. Amen. Let's pray. May God, we submit our hearts afresh to you. We thank you, Lord God. While some may laugh this off as a small thing, others, Lord, are bowed down under the weight of worry. Others are stricken with fear and paralyzed. Children in some homes are beside themselves, thinking that their future is over. Lord, teach your people here, those who will listen to this on the internet, not to be moved by their emotions, not to be moved by their own willful self-direction, not to be moved by the thoughts that plague them, but that their anchor the soul would be anchored to the rock. Lord, this week, let there be a, I'm asking, Lord, that for all who listen to this message in your homes right now, say, Lord, change me. Help me to put my eyes upon you and to trust you in this storm. And Lord, would you just do a fresh work in all of your people at Faith Harvest this week?
Thank you.
Lord God, that everyone would be looking to you and saying, how do you want me to shine right now? For parents right now, Lord, I pray that you would put within them the desire to rise up and be a light for their children, that their children would remember this hour. As they grow up, they would remember this thing that happened in their nation, and they would remember that their parents were calm, that they knew that they were secure, they were safe with their parents, because their parents stood in the strength of Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
Lord, let something supernatural rise up within every believer this week that's hearing the sound of my voice. Lord God, that they would have an assurance that would come up inside of them, that their faith would rise up to meet the challenge of this hour.
Amen.
That they would be a living testimony for you. Lord, we may be isolated in some ways. Some are still going into the workplace, but wherever we are, whether it's around children or whether it's around those in the workplace, let our light be a testimony of your keeping power.
Yes.
And our great, great expectation, our hope that will not fail, because it's a promise and you cannot lie, that you're going to see us through and that you
yes,
have
sir.
Your hand upon your people
yes.
during this time.
Yes.
Lord, just as you kept your people in Goshen, in Egypt, as plagues were falling on that nation, keep your people with a word of testimony, Lord, in the mighty, precious, and the holy name of Jesus of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, God bless each and every one of you this week. If you need us, we're here for you. We love you.